Welcome back to Coffee with a Calvinist. This is a daily conversation about scripture, culture, and media from a Reformed perspective. Here's your host, Pastor Keith Foskey.
Welcome back to Coffee with a Calvinist. My name is Keith Foskey, and I am a Calvinist. We're coming to you today with another caffeinated Calvinist roundtable. I am joined, as always, by my two guests and co-hosts, Sam Brown and Richard Roden. Today, we are going to be discussing the first 100 days of the Biden presidency. Hey, guys, how are you?
Hey, we're beautiful. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Richard, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Doing well.
Good deal. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to start. I want to make mention of something, and we were talking about this a little bit before the show began. This is, we're looking toward the week of the inauguration. Today is the 18th, and we're supposedly, if everything goes as it should, the inauguration will be happening on January the 20th. That's correct, right? Yeah. And that I had seen on one of the news outlets that there are 12-foot barrier walls which are being installed around the inauguration site, which was to me a ironic reality because we've been told for the last 4 years by all of our Democratic friends that walls do not work. And so this is the reality we are seeing. Walls won't keep out people from other countries, but walls will keep out Republicans and those who might want to protest an inauguration. So that's what we are looking at right now.
Well, don't forget those walls are also covered by people with guns, and guns aren't either. So they are using walls and guns to protect themselves from people that they didn't want to allow walls for, or people are not allowed to have guns. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. And the thing
chock
is,
full of irony.
What's really ironic is that, you know, it wasn't a few months ago that we saw the ACAB tags going around. And if you're not familiar with ACAB, stands for all cops are bad. All cops are bad.
Well, that's not what the B stands for.
Okay.
All right. It's a pejorative for a fatherless child.
Oh, okay. I thought it was all cops are bad. But regardless, that's either way, it's terrible against police officers and what they're saying. And what's the irony now is a lot of the people who were posting hashtag ACAB are now complaining about the riot that happened in the Capitol because they're saying the police were put into danger. It's like, well, wait a minute. You can't have it both ways. You can't be pro-protesting that happened all around the United States just a few months ago in regards to Black Lives Matter and the Antifa and the Chad situation out in Seattle or Portland?
Yes, Seattle.
Yeah, you can't be anti-police officer for all that, but now pro-police officer when it comes to the Capitol. But I guess you can if you're wanting to be grossly inconsistent. And
well,
that's what we see.
And so not to pick a fight early because I'm already in a saucy mood today. But yeah, they can be because it's absolutely in line with their incoherent and inconsistent worldview. So it absolutely makes sense because they don't really care about what's right. They care about what's right for them.
That's right. And I thought you were going to pick a fight with me. And I was like, Sam, you love
me. I kind of am. I'm like saying, you're saying it doesn't make sense. I'm like, but it does because the old saying, it's not that liberals have double standards. They have no standards. Right.
All right.
So that's what it is.
Well, let's start it with this. Instead of doing our predictions for the first 100 days, I'm gonna shoot this question to you guys and spend 2 minutes apiece. What do you think the inauguration is going to be like? Do you think it's going to go off without a hitch? Do you think there's going to be massive riots? Do you think that they're going to amount to anything? What do you think is going to happen? I heard they found some guy today that had a fake pass to the inauguration. He had 500 rounds on him. I don't even know if that's real. I just saw that story pop up. Somebody just made a joke that 500 rounds isn't really that many rounds. What do you guys think is going to happen on inauguration day? Richard, I'll let you go. You haven't said much today. I'll let you go first.
Honestly, I don't know. I can't imagine too much is going to happen when you got 20,000 troops, you got 12-foot walls, they're barricading it in. I can't imagine too much is going to happen. And if I'm reminded of, you ever seen the movie V for Vendetta? In one of the conversations between the two cops when they were talking about people going down to the building or whatever toward the end of the movie. And the guy said, well, what do you think is going to happen? And he said, well, what normally happens when people without guns show up and confront people with guns? So I can't imagine, unless there's going to be like an armed deal and you're going to have like a big fight, I can't imagine too much is going to go down with that much security and all the precautions they're taking. At most, you'll have Trump supporters show up to just kind of stand around. But I can't imagine it's going to be any violence or anything go on. But I could be wrong. But I just don't see it. He's going to go out there, do his little inauguration, probably swearing on the Quran, you know, just to, you know, be culturally relevant. And that'll be it. Give some stupid speech and move on. I mean, it's not going to be – I'm not going to watch it, but I don't think anything major is going to happen. But again, who knows?
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned that – you know, what happens when people with guns and people without guns. I've been hearing a lot of people lately that have been, you know, calling, saying we're going to have civil war and this is going to lead to civil war. And whether or not that's true, I have a hard time putting it in my mind what civil war would even look like. It's not like it was during the time of the American Civil War, the war between the states, where there were drastically clear battle lines, where those battle lines aren't as clear anymore. Sort of like war has changed. And in this, kind of going back, right, are Trump supporters really going to attack National Guardsmen? You know, I don't see that happening. I don't think they would. Now, I'm not saying there's no Trump supporters who are crazy and violent to that point, but I don't think a genuine Trump supporter who genuinely, most of them I know, are pretty pro-military, pretty pro-police, are going to go in guns a-blazing towards the boys in green, the boys in blue. You know, and that's just my opinion. I could be 100% wrong, but
and I agree with you, because even when the riots you had at the Capitol, the people that broke in weren't even really Trump supporters. And I saw a photo today.
Some of them
of they, yeah. A photo today of the rioters inside the Capitol having their photos taken, and you see the actual cameras. Well, rioters don't stop and pose for cameras, and camera people and the press aren't in there during a riot. It's all a staged event, as far as I'm concerned. It was designed to throw to make Trump supporters look worse than what they are, to throw them in line with Antifa and all that. That Trump supporters can be just as violent as the rest. So I agree with you there. True Trump supporters, true people who are actually care about the direction of this country and what it's founded on, aren't going to go in there and rush the military because of, you know, Joe Biden getting sworn in. We'll move on and see what happens. Now, with that being said, as what you said, the Civil War, I don't know how that works either, because somebody's got to organize the sides. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and you got to have, it's like, what about, you know, your neighbors who are, you know, or is it literally going to be, you know, my yard is a red yard, your yard's a blue yard, you know, I mean, and I know there's
more to it. Well, I can tell you where you're living, your whole street's on one side of the fight. I'll go ahead.
Oh, yeah, well, that's right.
You can have your little stronghold down there on your neck of the woods.
I am your Huckleberry. All right, Sam, I've let you. Now, you said you felt like you said there at the Capitol riot, you think some of those were Trump supporters, and I agree, probably some of them were. But do you think there were any Antifa there too? Do you think it was a mixed bag?
Well, we actually know that there was one of the leftist terrorists that was arrested and released without bail. What's his name? John the activist is what he goes by. And
well, that's creative. I'm Keith the podcaster then. I mean, golly.
For the life of me, John Sullivan, not John L. Sullivan, the old boxer guy, but John Sullivan is his name. He's a very popular insurgents. INSURGENCEUSA is his website, and he's a leftist terrorist. He's been out at all the Black Lives Matter protests, has been all Antifa. He's the sort of black bloc Antifa guy that's been perpetrating these things for a very long time.
Sounds like the kind of guy we'd just love to have on the show.
Yeah, no, but I would love to get a, I would love to get in a room with him. Yeah, absolutely. To be sure. But to be clear, Trump supporters there acted very badly, and they did do very bad things. My concern is this. I have a lot of concerns. Here's one. I keep hearing the word sacred and desecrated used about a government building. That gives me pause. Anytime I hear, especially a Christian, use the word sacred and desecrated about a government facility, I'm bothered by that. Yes, Trump supporters acted horribly. Very, very few of them did, because there's 80 million plus Trump supporters, because we know that they flipped a lot of votes and they lied about all that, with a couple of hundred million guns. If we really wanted to have an armed insurrection, do you think it would have been four people dying in a staged event at the Capitol? It's ridiculous to even think. So, yeah, I think that Trump supporters there acted very badly. I think that we allowed the election to be stolen. Your question was, if I recall correctly, because I've been babbling, what will happen on Inauguration Day?
Right? Yeah, do you think there's going to be some fireworks, or what do you think is going to happen?
I think there will be some staged fireworks. It will be a perfectly planned event, just exactly like they want it to be. They're setting the stage already with the big fake wall and the 30,000 plus troops and all the staged propaganda that is constantly assaulting us via the airwaves, via social media. They're silencing conservatives. Every single story is just this gaslighting, panic driving. You know, you have lost. You have lost. And I know so many people that are going, this can't be real, right? There are so few people that actually support Joe Biden. And I don't live in a sheltered life. I'm not surrounded by all Christians every day, all day. And yet I don't know anybody except for like two family members who actually support Joe Biden, but none of them support all the transgenderism, which is going to be the first thing he signs, is the transgender athletes. He has a list of 12 executive orders he's going to sign on day one.
Tell me about you got that list?
Oh, absolutely. I've got all kinds of articles pulled
up here. Well, keep that up for the first 100 days thing. So I want to talk about that transgender athlete thing, but go back to what you're saying. Sorry.
Yeah. So no, they've got their whole agenda, and they've been honest about it from the very beginning. And it's just going to be an assault for the first 2 years. Get ready, buckle in and get ready, because it's going to be pick up from the last day of the Obama administration on day one. They're going to cancel. Well, we'll talk about all that when we get to it, but they have put out exactly what they're going to do, but they didn't have to, because we know what they're going to do. They're liberals. That's what they do.
Yeah. So I know that, you know, we've been talking in my circles about the upcoming Equality Act. That's probably something that is on that list. I'm not sure, you know, the list you're looking at, Sam, but these are things that have our concerns, or at least the concerns of the people that I, you know, deal with and minister, you know, alongside, and different people. And so, you know, here's my question for you guys. And really, this was the topic of conversation, which was going to drive the show. Many presidents consider the first 100 days to be the time that they want to stake their ground and mark their place and make history, if you will. The first 100 days, we're going to do these things. And Sam, it seems like you've got a list of the things that the executive orders that are already planned, but I want to... And I want to look at those. I want to look at those that list. But I also want to ask you what you think, not only in regard to what they have said they're going to do, but what are some things that you think might be more subversive things, more things that we don't necessarily hear about, but things that you might think are going to happen. Like for me, I'll give you mine. Maybe this will get your brains thinking in a direction. I think that we're going to see a massive lifting of a lot of the restrictions that we've had with COVID, so as to seem as if there is a salvation that has been brought by the Democratic Party. You know, we've all been tucked away with the image of God hidden behind a diaper on our face. And now I've seen a couple of articles, and again, these could be farce articles, but I've seen a few things that have said that the mayor of Chicago and a few other people are saying,
Beetlejuice,
are saying, open the restaurants, open these things. And it makes sense to me that we could see the, because my fear was that we were all going to be masked up again. It was all going to go, it was going to go back to complete lockdown. But they know that that's going to be bucked. But if they say, release the restrictions, masks off, we now have the antidote or the vaccine, whatever, everything's fine. You can visit your families again. You can have funerals again. You can have birthday parties again, that they would be seen as heroic for doing what Donald Trump couldn't do. And again, I don't think it's going to happen on the 20th, but I think within the first 100 days, we could see that. And again, I could be 100% wrong. It could go the other way, but that's one of my thoughts, is that that's something that's not on the agenda, in my opinion. I think that's something that's going to be more subversive. But all right, I'll let you go first, Sam. You got your list, but go ahead and tell me what you think about what I said, and then let's hear your list.
So I think you're on to something. I think you're absolutely right, because the first thing that we see is Biden's plan to vaccinate 100 million people in 100 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the big lie, right? That's the lie they're going to tell, and is that this is how Biden fixed everything. Of course, they're not going to give you the backstory of Operation Warp Speed, how Trump made it possible to have those 100 million doses of vaccines. And also, they're not going to tell you about the high rate of palsy that people are getting from the vaccines, or all of the negative reactions people are having from vaccines, because again, it's a media-controlled narrative. So there's going to be, it's going to start off with 100 million people in 100 days. And the 12 executive orders that he's got set for day one is, of course, canceling the Keystone XL pipeline. Of course, it is rejoining the Paris Accord. Of course, it is groundbreaking legislation to address immigration reform and instantly make 11 million illegal immigrants United States citizens. But that's another big lie, is that who still believes there's only 11 million illegal immigrants? They've been saying that for 20 years, right? And we had unrestricted illegal immigration consistently for the last 20 years, but somehow it only stayed at 11 million. There's more like 50 million. So the minute that they make all of those legal citizens, again, there's going to be consequences that come with that. The 100-day masking challenge, of course, is also part of, you know, asking everyone to implement face mask mandates on federal property and for interstate travel while they're vaccinating 100 million people. So it's a nice big propaganda war that they're waging, but they're not really going to be doing anything, because it's all subterfuge, right? It's all designed to keep us fighting amongst each other so that they can continue to enrich themselves with these international trade deals with China and Ukraine and all these other people, because they don't really care about us, right? They only care about keeping us fighting with each other and enriching themselves.
Awesome. Awesome. I appreciate that. So basically, it's one big scam. The first 100 days,
yeah, it is.
looking at the potential of one big scam. Now, I'm going to come back to you in a minute. I want to talk about that transgender thing that you mentioned a minute ago. But Richard, what are your thoughts? I see you have a piece of paper there. Are you making a paper
airplane? I'm just making some notes to remind so I could go back to from things you were saying to spark my memory. I agree with you that at first I was in the same impression, that we're going to go back to a massive lockdown and only essential people are going to be able to operate and all that. And he was going to force a mask mandate. And I was even thinking to the extreme of enforcing it with fines and those kind of measures. But now that I'm seeing your super liberal mayors and governors coming out saying that we need to reopen as quick as possible, and we need to get restaurants open, and we need to do all this stuff, I'm in agreement with you that it's going to, they're trying to use it as they are suddenly the saviors of everything. They're going to bring everything back to normal. And the thing about it is, what's amazing is I know, Sam, you said you don't know a lot of people who are Biden supporters, but I run into them every day. I got people in our family that are major leftists, and they swallow everything hook, line, and sinker.
And, to be clear, they support transgenders in the bathroom and all the nonsense, or are they just saying
that's they support all the nonsense. Like, that's, for instance, I got family that they canceled Christmas. We supposed to have Christmas at their house. They canceled Christmas because of COVID. They were afraid of having COVID, and they didn't want anybody near them. They sent all the presents through Amazon, did all that stuff. If you mention anything about abortion, you mention anything about transgenderism, they're all over you. Mm-hmm. I mean, they swallowed it hook, line, and sinker, to the point that even with all those precautions, they still caught COVID. The mom isolated herself in the bedroom like she's in prison or something. The husband had to bring everything to her, stayed away from the kids, and still everybody in the house caught it.
Isn't that amazing? I've heard that story so many times, and I got family too, brother. Just to piggyback on that, I got family that skipped Christmas, did the gifts via Amazon. You know, there was no visiting, there was no dinners. So yeah, mm-hmm. I'm with you. And so I didn't mean to, but just what you said just got my attention there. So go ahead and continue. I'm sorry.
And what I'm going to get at is this. They bought the lie of COVID hook, line, and sinker. And the minute the Democratic Party comes out and says everything's fine, they'll buy that too. And they'll roll right along. They'll take the masks off. They'll go out to dinner. They'll do everything that the government's telling them to do. I've made the joke to other people that if the government was to come out and tell you that you had to crawl around on your hands and knees because COVID can only be caught from 4 feet up in the air, half the country would crawl around on their hands and knees. Mm-hmm. They just buy it. Regardless of if they say it, the government says to do it, they're going to do it. They're not going to question it. They are sheep. So the Democratic Party is going to get away with this. They're going to get away. If they lift all the bans and everything goes away, they're going to get away with it. And they will be defended to the nth by your Don Lemons and your Cuomos and your CNNs, your MSNBCs. They're going to defend because they said it's okay. Well, since it's okay now, they'll defend them to the nth degree. Again, the double standard or the lack of standards. Also, in the first 100 days, some of my predictions are they're going to try to start regulating some level of gun control. They're going to push back, repeal all the Trump tax cuts, start taking money, start doing all that kind of stuff. Your taxes are going to go up. They're going to – basically, it's going to be an assault on freedom in the first 100 days. That's just – they're going to try to push their agenda as hard as possible. And I'm not looking forward to it at all. But back to Sam, because he has I didn't show up with a list.
I just have a couple of articles that list what he says he's going to do. Yeah, I didn't make up a list. I just did a quick internet search.
But one thing I'm hoping is not true, because I heard this months ago, part of Biden's tax plan was on page 56 of the tax plan. I actually went and looked it up, and it was on there, but I hope he don't do it. Because he's talking about taxing homeowners 3% of their home value. It's like buried in there somewhere. So if you got a $300,000 home, your taxes are going to go up like 10 grand. I mean, that's $1,000 a month, almost. It's $800 a month extra you got to pay because your house is worth $300,000. If he does that, if he puts that tax in, he's going to bankrupt a ton of people. Now, that may or may not happen. If he does something like that, he's an idiot. Well, he's already proven to be an idiot. But so I'm hoping that's not accurate. But if it is, that's going to devastate millions of Americans in the middle class. Devastate them.
Yeah.
So anyway, the first 100 days doesn't look good at all, as far as I'm concerned. And I had some people I've talked to, they feel like since Biden's a little bit old school, you know, he comes from that 70s, 80s model Democrat, but he's not going to go full bore on like Second Amendment and stuff like that because he knows it'd be political suicide. But I don't know, with Kamala and Nancy behind the scenes pulling the strings, he might do it anyway. And he's 78 years old. What does he care? He ain't going to be around very long anyhow. By the time he's done with the presidency, he won't be in the health. He'll be 82 years old, and what's he care? He ain't got 10 years left anyway, so what does it matter? anyhow, that's my thoughts. Back to Sam here on his article and the transgender. I'd like to hear that as well, of what his plan is on that craziness.
What you got for us, Sam?
So it was just there's just all kinds of articles out there regarding the Joe Biden's executive orders. One of them is on day one, he's going to order on transgender rights in sports and bathrooms. So the Title IX exemptions that are going on. In fact, to quote Joe Biden on January 25th of 2020, it says, "Let's be clear. Transgender equality is the civil rights issue of our time. There is no room for compromise when it comes to basic human rights." Now, that should send a chill down the spine of every single person that hears that, because there is no room for compromise. Now, that's the guy who is now the president-elect of the United States, soon to be president in 3 days, saying there's no room for compromise on forcing men who think they're women into your bathrooms, into women's sports, and equating that to an immutable characteristic like race and gender. So equating your mindset to that could be easily transferred to anything, but the fact that it's this and it's such a divisive issue should be a huge concern, and that's going to be day one. I mean, they're going to come in guns blazing. On his first day in office, he will reinstate the Obama-Biden guidance revoked by Trump and Pence, which will restore transgender students access to sports, bathrooms, and locker rooms in accordance with their gender identity. He will direct the Department of Education to vigorously enforce and investigate violations of transgender students' civil rights. Now, you can say that this article on Breitbart is anonymous sources, whatever, but Joe Biden has been very clear about this. You can go to his website and see where he stands on the transgender issue. In fact, the quote for him from January 25th of 2020 is that he believes that there's no room for compromise with this when it comes to basic human rights. So, It starts with that on day one, and it's only going to expand because they know they've got a limited time, right? Every time Democrats govern, they lose. 2008, Obama won. They had the House, the Senate, and the White House, and they lost historically in 2010. We have had revolutions from the Reagan Revolution, the Nixon Revolution, the Republican Revolution of 1994 after 2 years of Clinton, 2 years of Obama. We had a 65 House seat swing, which is the biggest in history. So when Democrats govern, they lose, but they get in there and they grab everything they can. We're still fighting Obamacare, and they passed Obamacare after losing historically in a lame duck session, and we still haven't gotten that undone. That shows how feckless and weak the Republicans are. And I know I'm going on for a while, but this is like kind of my whole idea behind this, and what I want to get across to anybody who has ever heard me say anything that they liked. This is all our fault. We are 100% to blame for this. We have allowed abortion, apostasy, homosexual marriage, transgenderism, the drag queen story hour to be read to our children, all this and more. And we have been unfaithful to win the world for Christ and to prophetically speak to those at authority. This is all our fault. Whatever happens, we deserve every bit of it.
Amen. It's a, this is definitely, as Calvin said, when God wants to judge a people, he gives them wicked rulers.
Amen.
And so we are seeing wickedness being, being put on display. And that thing about transgenderism, it's just the sickest form of expressing sexual depravity. Throwing off all bounds. Not only are we going to throw off the bounds of heterosexuality, but we're going to throw off the very bounds of our own understanding of our own created nature. And it's such a sad thing.
And what we have to do is just be happy warriors. We have to gladly go into the fight. We have to say, yes, Thank you. Thank you, God. Send your judgment on this wicked, wicked land, because we deserve it. And we need to speak prophetically to people, our Republican friends, our so-called libertarian friends, our middle-of-the-road Democrats, although God knows what that means anymore. Those people all need to hear, this is the insanity we're dealing with. If you think that a man thinking he's a woman or a woman thinking she's a man is the equivalent of a minority skin color or a gender that you feel is treated unequally, that's insanity. But that's what we've asked for, because you were wanted to be middle of the road and hate the orange man. It's insane, and it's just that we suffer under this. But as Christians, we have to do it happily and take on the fight, whatever the cost.
Yeah. And it's interesting you say they voted simply because they hate the orange man because he's bad.
Yep.
I've had conversations with so many people on the route, on my job and all, that they simply – I literally had a woman tell me that she believes that Trump's done more for the black community. She believes that her black friends are better off. She believes that she's better off and has more money because the economy is good. She believes all those things. Yep. But because Trump tweets and because Trump sounds hateful and he just seems mean and coarse and abrasive – that's why she voted for the other guy. That's why she voted for Biden. And I said, so everything you said that's positive he's done, because of a dislike in a man's personality, you voted for someone who she admits will probably do bad by the black community and minorities and will actually roll back and she'll have less money and the economy is going to go in the tank. But then she doesn't care because orange man bad.
Right.
It's a disease. I don't understand it for the life of me. People can't think more than 2 minutes in front of their face, and all they do is think about emotion. Emotion, it drives the day.
Because we have abdicated our responsibility to be good Christian, productive members of society for generations, right? We have allowed the school systems to fall into disrepair and being owned by the Romans, right? We have allowed people. I remember I got into a huge fight with a Christian friend of mine back during the Black Lives Matter riots. It was about a year ago, one of the many riots that has occurred. And this lady was in Los Angeles, and she was so mad, she was so offended that these Arab cell phone store owners were out protecting their store with AK-47s. She couldn't believe that they wouldn't let them riot and go in and steal their cell phones. And he was going, this is so ridiculous. I'm like, that woman was raised from birth in a society that told her she didn't have a chance, that didn't school her well, gave her no moral grounding. The church wasn't there to fix those problems. How did she ever have a chance? You know, we gave up on people, and we have wrought this on ourselves, not by anything that my good friend Richard or my good friend Keith has done, but for a generation, we as the church have just abdicated our responsibility to claim this society for Christ, because we've been fat and lazy and rich, and we thought everything was good, and we only expect good things, and we have allowed the decay, the internal decay of every institution that we have. We just gave it up because we're lazy. And again, not saying that Keith is lazy or Richard's lazy, but we as a church body are lazy and haven't claimed this land for Christ. And thus your friend can sit there and say, oh, I know that Donald Trump has been better for the black community, but I still voted against him because orange man bad. Reason is dead because we have allowed it to die.
And another element too, and I'm guilty of this myself and having those conversations with people is, I don't think we have theologically driven conversations. We get so wrapped up in the worldliness of it all. We stick to the politic itself, but we don't bring the Christian worldview into the conversation, so that then you can then get to Christ and apply that to the conversation. What are we told? Be in the world, but not of the world. But we've got so sucked into the politics and so sucked into the satanic system that we don't address it how we should address it. We don't have a theological framework when we talk to people. We talk on their ground instead of from a Christian worldview. And I think that's where a lot of times we've made a mistake. I've been guilty of it myself. I get caught up in these numbers, this is what he's done, this is what's going on, this is what's going on, but I don't ever bring it where it needs to go, back to the most important issue, what the Bible brings to bear on these situations and why they're wrong, and bringing Christ into the conversation. It's it's a trap we all fall into, and that's what you're getting at. That's the argument you're making, is that we as a church have failed in that regard. We don't do that anymore. We're caught up in the system, and we need to break free of it and bring the Bible back to bear on our conversations and point people to Christ.
It's part of an idea that I'm starting to develop, and I'm going to be doing some writing on it soon, that I call the 1 Peter 3:15 paradox, right? We say, with Christ, set Christ apart as Lord, always be prepared to give a defense of the reason for the hopes that's inside of you, right? That's our evangelism verse, right? That's, if you ask any Christian, they're going to say that's the evangelism verse. Why? Why do we just have to be ready? Why don't we believe Matthew 28:18, whenever Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go, right? Mm-hmm. He didn't say, you know, maybe you might want to be nice to people, and then if they ask you why you're so nice, then you tell them that it's because you love Jesus. No, no. Matthew 28:18 should be our evangelism verse. All authority belongs to Jesus, and we need to live like that, and we don't. And I for one, and I'm not pointing fingers, I do it too. I'm the same way, so I'm as guilty as anybody.
We have the ultimate authority with us, and we don't rely on him. We rely on ourselves. And mm-hmm. that's the issue that you're getting at. That's it. Idolatry of self and
comfort. That, we love our comfort.
Oh yeah.
I love this beautiful home that God gave me. And I love sitting in here and doing these wonderful discussions with you guys on my nice computer. And I got a nice ceiling fan blowing with my air conditioning. It's so great. I'd give it all up in a second to preach the gospel to people, but Would I really? I don't live like that.
That's the issue, is we get out there, and when we get confronted with these things, fear grips us and it stops us from speaking. We've got to overcome that. So, Keith, we've taken the show from you. Where you at, buddy?
I am doing what the listeners are doing. I am enjoying the conversation as a listener. It's interesting, Sam, you mentioned the First Peter passage and being ready to give a hope or give a defense for the hope that is within us. A lot of people miss the fact that the reason why we have to give a defense is because we have in some way proclaimed hope. Mm-hmm. And the reason why they're asking about the hope that is within us is because we have told them about the hope that is within us.
Amen.
And so we ought to do that. And we ought to be people who remain hopeful even in the midst of a difficult season, because our hope is not in the presidency. Our hope is not in the Senate. Our hope is not in Washington. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord, our God. Amen. And that has to be our final word. Well, gentlemen, thank you for giving your always fun and highly helpful thoughts, especially about important topics. And I want to tell you, listener, thank you for being with us today. And I want to give you a little teaser about what is to come. The three of us are going to continue to do the Caffeinated Calvinist Roundtable as much as we can, hopefully at least once a week, moving forward as the Lord allows and gives us time. We all three have jobs, so that may not always work. But if we can, the next time we meet, Lord willing, we're going to do a book review of the book, 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You. We're all reading it. We're all going to be coming with our own set of notes and conversation topics regarding the book. And we hope that that will be our conversation for a week from now. So if you're interested in that, my encouragement would be to you to get it, go ahead and get a copy of the book and read it along with us and be ready for our review to hear what we have to say about that book. Again, gentlemen, I want to thank you for being with me today and being with our audience. And again, Sam, thank you.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you.
And Richard, thank you for taking time out to do this.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. The opportunity to be here, and I always enjoy this. This is always fun.
Yeah, me too. And brothers, I appreciate you both, and I look forward to seeing you next week on the Caffeinated Calvinist Roundtable. And thank you, listener, for being with us today and listening to Coffee with a Calvinist. My name is Keith Foskey, and I have been your Calvinist. May God bless you.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Coffee with a Calvinist. If you enjoyed the program, please take a moment to subscribe and provide us feedback. We love to receive your comments and questions and may even engage with them in a future episode. As you go about your day, remember this: Jesus Christ came to save sinners. All who come to him in repentance and faith will find him to be a perfect Savior. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. May God be with you.